Welcome back to another Women's Champions League box-to-box episode. Jessie, have you recovered from the other night?
No, I don't know if I'll ever recover. Maybe ever. Like,
no.
I think that's fair. Like, I think I just have to accept I'm a changed person now.
The before and after of Jessie Parker-Humphries.
Yeah, basically.
I mean, that was insane. I couldn't believe, I mean, it was literally the last kick of the game. For those who didn't see it, the Marion Mielde penalty at the end of the match was literally the last kick of the game. The referee ended the match before the penalty was taken, so literally no other player could interfere with it. So it either went in or it did it, and that was it. That was the final of the match. So whatever pressure, slight pressure that Marion Mielde had in that exact moment of do or die basically was insane. And the way she smashed that was also insane. I mean, I thought she had a great game, but we'll obviously get to that a bit later. We're gonna go with more or less order of play, but we're gonna start with Barcelona-Roma. I think there's not much to be said considering how much we talk about Barcelona in here. I think there's not much extra to be added, but I don't know, Jessie, what you thought of that match and watching it.
Yeah, so I will caveat this with saying I was obviously on the way to Arsenal Bayern for this one. But I've watched like quite a lot of it back. I mean, as I was just seeing the goals go in, I was like, this is what Barcelona do.
It was so, the goals were so easy.
Yeah.
Like not the actual execution of it, but like the way it happened, it was just so easy.
Yeah, it just seemed like very, very smooth sailing. Mappy Leon's goal is...
That was...
I know Frida Marnham's will probably come out as people seeing it as the goal of the round, but I thought Mappy's was...
I have a confession. I actually missed it. I was... Well,
you flew all the way to Barcelona and you missed that.
I got all the other ones. Well, it's one of those... It's happened before because, like, the ball's so far out that usually the play continues. Like the probability of someone shooting from out there is quite low, especially Barcelona that usually
pass the
ball.
Because she's very straight on as well.
Yeah, exactly. Like I was looking down because I was like I was ready to start filming on top of that because the ball was progressing forward, but I looked down, and then she shoots, and I look up, and I was like, shit.
Yeah. The zone were like, great! What a great use of our money.
Yeah, basically. I got all the other goals, though. They scored four more, so that's fine.
Good. You can always rely on Barcelona to at least get you some other goals.
Yeah, exactly. But it was just like, she has no right to shoot from there, especially as a centre-back. Like, in your head, you're not being like, right, let me prepare because Mappy's going to shoot from far out because that's just what she does always. I mean, at Camp Nou, it seems like she does, but that was quite funny. I thought it was a very standard match. It was, I mean, people kept asking me how it was, and I was like, to be honest, like, it was just another Barcelona match. There's not much to it. I am happy Roma got a goal, but in...
It was a nice goal as well.
Yeah, exactly, in a 5-1 deficit, how much does that actually, you know, mean? I was talking to Vicky Losada after the match, and she was injured, and she was like, I tried as much as I can, but you can't do anything injured against a Barcelona midfield.
Mm.
Which is like, it's I think Barcelona have finally clicked in that sense. I think Patri and Aitana have been, especially Aitana, she's ridiculous at the moment. I think that Barcelona midfield is finally back to kind of what everyone expects from them, which is quite nice. But I don't know what you thought of the overall play.
Yeah, I think again, what it kind of showed is that what Barcelona do is they just wear you down. And I feel like watching this game, it was like even everything that Roma had kind of done well in the first leg, the longer period of time, it's like you're not, when there's so many technically gifted players like that and you're just sitting further and further back, you know, you look at where Frida Luna Rolfo is for her goals and it's like that's because Barcelona have put so many players forward that Mappy kind of takes up that position, right, where she is covering left-back and centre-back, basically. And then you've got Frida actually coming inside, almost, as this, like, well, yeah, more of like an extra left-winger. And you're like, well, yeah, like, it's so hard to defend against that many players in your box. Like, that's That's what, because I think when you watch, especially some of the later goals, you're like, oh, it kind of is bad defending for lots of them in terms of the space Barcelona players get. I'm like, there's so many of them there. Like,
it's, I mean, look where, exactly like what you said, like where Mapi took her shot, like a centre back has no, that's usually taken up by a midfielder. Like, she has no right to be in that space and to have, to have that much space. But again, because Roma players are dropping so back to defend other players that are higher up the pitch, there's no one kind of close to her in that sense because she's taking up that space that everyone's leaving behind.
Yeah. I guess the only interesting thing as well, though, was when the Roma goal, you still saw that, okay, it doesn't matter because Barcelona scored so many, but you saw that if you can get the counter-attack right, and we saw this in for Wolfsburg in the second leg of the semi last year, right, that there will be space there. Because if you can get that turnover, it's just like, how quickly can you turn over the ball? Can you get the other players up there in support?
And I think I do have to say that I think Lucy Barnes is the weak link when it comes to counterattacks because she's so slow to run back.
Yeah. I think...
So if you, go on.
I was just going to say, I think it would be really interesting, like, for the Chelsea-Barcelona game in terms of whether Barcelona feel more worried potentially about the kind of technical quality that Chelsea have. But at the same time, I think what was really disappointing, and we'll talk about obviously the game against Lyon properly, but that Chelsea really didn't offer their forwards any support, especially as the game went on further on. And I'm like, I actually think, you know, what we've seen with playing Barcelona is sitting back is almost the worst thing you could do. Like, the way Chelsea try, and I don't, like, listen, if I think that, I'm sure Emma Hayes thinks that, but I don't know if right now if Chelsea have that in them to do, because when you play against Lyon, like, they don't really create, like, they didn't feel like a very creative team. Like, you could understand why Chelsea were like, we'll play for the 0-0, even if it didn't work out quite like that. But I think for Barcelona, you've got to just go for it.
Yeah. There's absolutely no, and especially when we're talking about the counter-attack, I think Chelsea have the personnel to do that quite efficiently.
Mm.
When you have Gurrett and Sam Kerr, Lauren James, and you have, you know, Melanie Laporte, that's a bit more calm-headed in the sense of actually getting the accurate passes in. I think Chelsea could take the advantage there. And again, when you have, you know, Lucy Bronze kind of strolling back as if nothing, Filipe Rolfo that's on the touchline by the goal, and you have Gurrett and Lauren James kind of running into that space. I think that could actually be the big advantage for Chelsea. But also, I do want to talk about Barcelona's front three. Do we think a CGH, Asisat Oshoala, and Salma Parayuelo is the best option? Right now, obviously, I think Marion and Bina are being greatly missed in those positions in particular. But do we think that's the best three?
Well, I mean, CGH, obviously, is like...
Yeah, that's... I mean, we can ignore that a bit. That's a given.
Oshoala, I just... She's such a frustrating player still for me. But I think, especially as you get into these more important games, she still offers a consistency, like, compared to, like, Josie, that I think's fair enough for her to start. And I think Salma, like, I saw Salma do an interview before this match, which was about her, like, the relationship her and Frida built up. And I think you'll actually really see that come to fruition at the moment. Like, you know, in terms of... Yeah, when Rolfo's going to, like, cut inside and then Salma can peel out and basically create space for Frido by dragging the opposition right back. And I think this game was actually a really good example of that. And, like, I love Salma. But who doesn't love Salma? I think she's had such an impressive season. I think she's adjusted to Barcelona in a way that I didn't think... She wasn't the player who I was like, she'll... click straight away.
Yeah, like right away, yeah.
So yeah, I think right now, and I think, you know, actually it's really important, especially if we're talking about Alexia coming back into the team, keeping those relationships that have been, those existing relationships that have been built this season outside of the midfield, I think will be really, like, crucial, because obviously Alexia will improve the team, but, like, we'd spoken about it before, you are going to have to rejig your midfield, which, as you just said, is, like, just clicking. So I think keeping the kind of... It feels like Jonathan's, like, quite set on it right now.
No, I think that's right. I think, yeah, with the Oshwara Jay Z argument, I think at the moment both of them, well, now I think this game really gave Oshwara the confidence that she's been needing for the past few games. Jay Z as well, I think the trouble with that is that they've both been struggling with confidence. So there's no better of one or the other because they're both kind of in the same mind space. But I think obviously now Oshwara scoring, I mean, the way she celebrated her goal, I think said
You could see
everything.
there was like a lot of
Yeah.
relief there, wasn't
There
there?
was, I mean, that was I felt really happy for her because of you just felt the release of every tension in her body just kind of go from that, which is quite nice. I do want to say I thought Bruna Vilamala had a good match in the midfield when she came on.
I've got to be honest, by that point, I was
I mean, it's fair enough,
not paying as much attention because I was like, this game is finished.
Yeah, no, I thought, I mean, she came into the midfield, which obviously we've been talking about is essentially the hardest place to come into, but I thought she went in quite seamlessly and she was able to control the ball a lot, especially playing out with the wingers. I thought she did that quite well and she was very up for it. So I am quite interesting. I'm curious to see how much playing time she gets for the rest of the season because I think now she's fully come back from her injury and she's feeling really good on the pitch. And essentially with Claudia Pina out and Kira Watson-Groningen, I think she's a good replacement, especially coming from La Masia. So, you know, you're going to have essentially just a mini Carro in a forward position in the midfield. So I think that's quite interesting to see how Yona kind of rotates for the rest of the season in the league also. But Roma, I mean, kudos to Roma. They had an outstanding run in the Champions League, and they look like they're gonna win Serie A. They're quite impressive, I think, in the sense that they have no big players. I mean, they have big players, but like no like world class top 10 players. But they know how to play really well together, and they're just a very wholesome team, I think.
They're very cute, I think. And I think it is really impressive kind of what they've built. And I guess what's impressive as well is to have not allowed like the Champions League run to kind of distract them domestically, because I think it'd be really easy to get, I think that's a mark of a good team, right? It's like so easy to get dragged into focusing on.
Just the one.
Yeah, and it's such a shame they got Barcelona, because it would have been really interesting to see them against some of the other teams, I think, in the quarterfinals.
Next up, Arsenal Bayern Munich. I am eating my words because I thought Bayern Munich were gonna make it through. I was able to see most of it, not all of it, because I was leaving Camp Nou and everything. But I got to watch the game and it was 1-0 and I nearly just like shat myself. Like I was completely shut. My body just like stopped and I was like, well, what is happening?
I
Jesse, do you want to you saw the match in great company?
did, yeah. I watched it with Ian Wright and Kelly Smith, so that was funny. Ian Wright complained that I didn't celebrate Arsenal's goals enough. But I was like, come on, when he posted that video, and like the because I was with Flo Lloyd Hughes as well, and it's like Flo's like high-fiving Kelly Smith and they score, and I'm like, Flo can get away with that because she supports QPR. But can you imagine if I'd been doing that?
Well, yeah, why not? Yeah, I was cheering for Chelsea.
Well, we'll get onto that in a bit.
That's for selfish reasons, but I was cheering for
Yeah,
Chelsea.
exactly. I wasn't like I was happy for Arsenal to win. It's just like also it's just like a natural thing, isn't it? Like if Chelsea score,
Yeah.
I'm immediately out of my seat. But if Arsenal score, I'm just like, great, like cool,
Oh,
fine.
well, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh,
Yeah,
silent
exactly.
applause.
In the video Ian Wright posted, you could like literally see my hands like clap, 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 like really politely.
Especially the Stina Black senior school.
No, this was like I thought Arsenal were great. I think to deal with Kim Little going off so early on was really impressive. And I've got to shout out Leah Williamson because that is the best game I've ever seen her play in midfield. And maybe the answer to Leah Williamson in midfield that we were missing all along is that she's not supposed to play as the deepest lying midfielder. She's meant to be that roving eight because
Yeah,
she
I think
was
she
great.
has the confidence to do that.
Yeah, she got the confidence, she's got the technical ability. Bayern, I thought, were really poor. I think everything they did well in the first leg, they just couldn't seem to find in the second. Watching Georgia Stanway get frustrated with everyone was quite funny. I thought, for me, she was like the only Bayern player who really stood out. Saki Kumagai, who felt like a massive liability in the first leg, proved to be a massive liability in the second leg. And yeah, Arsenal, you know, had this quite intense press, but also I felt like Bayern played themselves into trouble a lot. You know, they didn't need to be. It was obvious very early on that when they were passing out from the back, they didn't really have a plan. And they kept inverting, like, Clara Buhl, like, into the midfield, I guess, to try and create an overload there. But then you're basically just, like, it's like Clara Buhl's up against Noelle Moritz, and just get her to run at her. Like, that. I think that was the thing that was annoying. And I feel like, you know, maybe I was talking to someone about this afterwards, like, and obviously I don't know what it's like from a Bayern perspective, but they got that big win against Wolfsburg. They played really well. Winning the league to them is obviously, it means something else, right, compared to like how I feel, because I was like, go for it more. But like, you could see the subs that Alexander Strauss was making. I was like, it's almost like he accepted the game had gone. As we got towards the end, I was like, you still only need one goal. Like, it's the Chelsea Lyon situation, right? One goal to force extra time. But then, like, the person I was talking to is like, yeah, but you know, you see that from like Chelsea perspective, where you're like, oh, if we don't win the league this year, whatever. Like, I'd prefer to progress in the Champions League. But from a Bayern perspective, it's like sometimes your priorities are different.
No, it is true. I think Emma Hayes and Chelsea have made that quite clear from the start of they want to win the Champions League. And I mean, it's, I think we said it as well, like, three consecutive WSLs, like, grand, another one will just be, you know, an empty feeling, another trophy in the cabinet. But it's not going to have as much sentiment as winning the Champions League. So I see what you say there. I thought it was more from we do have to shout out for Jonas Eidevall for listening to Box Box and putting Victoria Kulova
on the other side. She was great.
Did we not say it, or did we not say it? I think the dynamic, just the energy just changes when you put Victoria Pilova there. I mean, apart from her being younger, it's just the way she plays. It's just like lightning, and she's quick on the ball. She wants to play really fast. And I just think it's very advantage, especially when Arsenal are going to try to stay higher up the pitch. And if you're going to high press, you would rather have, you know, a young Victoria Pilova kind of forcing that. And she's obviously coming from Ajax, which has a very good, you know, foundation of good football kind of strategies. Amen, Johan Cruyff.
Alex is reading a Johan Cruyff biography at the moment. That's why she's thinking about Ajax so much.
Yes. I haven't gotten to that part. Actually, no, I'm at the beginning of his career at the moment. But I just think the style of play that Kulova plays is just very advantage to Arsenal at the moment with the attack that they have. But what I found interesting in how Arsenal scored the goals, especially from crosses, and you look at the kind of the parallel of the goal that Diani scored twice, the one that was offside and the one she actually scored, it was one cross that Dominic Janssen was just very easy to beat. It was the one that was offside, it was over the top. Dominic Janssen just got caught flat-footed into space, and that was that. So I think if Arsenal continue the way they were attacking against Bayern Munich, I think that could do really well against Wolfsburg. So I find that quite promising in that three attack. I wouldn't mind keeping that to go up against Wolfsburg. I think Stina has started to come back and kind of live up to a certain expectation, Jesse.
All I ever said was that Viv is a better striker than Stina. Like, it's not that controversial. I think she's looked good. And I think she showed in this game what she can offer and what she needs to offer is she needs to be a nuisance. Like, you watch Darwin Nunez for Liverpool, and he's not the most, like, technical, amazing player in the world in that sense. Like, he has skill, obviously, but sometimes he's going to, like, miss opportunities. Sometimes he's going to look silly. But he just annoys defenders because he's always on the move. He's always, like, willing to get a shot off quickly, like Stina did against, like, Spurs. And that's what Arsenal needed to do. And I think what was so frustrating when she was going through kind of her fallow patch, and as were Arsenal, was it was just like, just get the ball to her and, like, let her take shots off, because she will affect the game, but you need her not to be static, basically. And I think we saw that to, like, we've seen that to much greater effect over the past a couple of weeks, and obviously her own confidence is coming back too, I think. But yeah, I mean, Kumagai up against Blackstenius for a cross coming to the box is like such a mismatch.
I mean, I am going to be very curious to see Dominic Janssen against Stina. I think Stina can easily win that battle, if I'm being quite honest, just from watching the PSG Wolfsburg. We're all quite familiar with Dominic Janssen from her time at Arsenal. And like when she left Arsenal, she was kind of on that downfall of I mean, any, you know, as you age and you become more veteran, you just, you know, you're not what you once were. And Dominic Janssen is, you know, still a really good center back, but she just gets beat quite easily, especially when people are making late runs in behind her. That Diani goal was literally just from Dominic Janssen's back. Diani ran in front of her, beat the header. I think Stina could do kind of the same damage in that bit, but I think Arsenal were promising. I think
there's no reason for Arsenal to think that they can't beat Wolfsburg and they can't reach the final.
I think that's quite, I think winning this, going up against Wolfsburg, Arsenal can easily make it into the final this year. There's nothing stopping Arsenal if they keep playing the way they did against second leg against Bayern Munich. If they're able to keep up that confidence, and luckily the semifinals aren't too far away, so they can kind of keep up that momentum, ignoring the fact that Arsenal are playing City in the league.
I was just going to ask, do you think it would maybe be better for Arsenal to potentially lose that game? Or, you know, in terms of having, I guess we've spoken about it with Bayern and the league, and Arsenal obviously have this weird, they're in this weird position, which all the WSL teams are in right now, where not only are they in the title race, but they're also in a race for the Champions League spots. So it's like, how much are you pushing for the league when you've got these semi-finals? Because you need to be giving something, because otherwise you could not be in the Champions League at all next year.
But that's the thing. It was like, I think Arsenal should give up on the title race. And I mean, you take that out of context, it sounds awful, but like the way Chelsea have the advantage with having the games in hand and the point difference, and with Man United, Man City, yes, the title race is still kind of, you know, it's up for grabs for anyone, essentially, when you look at the maths behind it. But I think Arsenal need to prioritize getting a Champions League spot. And even if they get the third Champions League spot, I think they'll be confident enough to get through. I mean, they've done it before. They can easily, not easily, because it's never easy with Arsenal, but they can get through the two qualifying rounds to get into the group stage of the Champions League. So I think now it's kind of taking it game by game in a league, as stupid as that sounds, but like they can afford to drop points. And at the same time, they can't. I think a draw against City in a less intense match, but also I think that's not doable because City are kind of the opposite.
It's all they've got to play for.
Exactly. They have nothing else to play for except for the league. And they're still on the run, unfortunately. So I think in this particular match against City, I don't think Arsenal can afford to kind of drop the level because of how City will come out, and especially how City played against Chelsea. I mean, I think that was more Chelsea's fault than City's kind of play, but that confidence is just going to affect how they're coming into this Arsenal match. I think it'll definitely be interesting to see, but I think Arsenal can't afford to drop these points.
Yeah.
Because of the direct rivalry, potentially, you know, further down the line, get a draw against a mid-table team could be doable in the sense of maybe they want to slow down the tempo at one point in the league. But against City, I think they need to come out full force. And again, there's time to recover until the semi-final, so that's not too worrying in that sense. But yeah, Arsenal, Wolfsburg, I think Arsenal have a good chance of making it into the final.
Yeah, I'd
we'll
agree.
See what happens. Shall we get to Chelsea, Lyon?
Yay! The funny thing about this game is I almost have, like, the ending is so crazy, obviously. I've already talked about this game.
I still can't believe it.
A couple of times, but I'm like, it's very hard to kind of analyse what happened in the first 120 minutes because of how insane the last 30 seconds and penalties were. Alex, when you walked around the pitch at halftime in extra time, how miserable did I look?
Very miserable. It was a very, like, I waved to Jesse, and it was kind of like a very, like, soft hand wave, kind of like a very sad And on top of that, it was raining, so I think it made it even more dramatic.
Yeah, it's like I was like I was standing at a train platform in the rain, having been left by a lover or something.
Well, I mean, I think you had every reason to feel that way. I mean, we were texting about it. It was like you felt that Chelsea didn't have it, and they did it. You know, Chelsea didn't have it in them to come back from a goal deficit.
Emma Hayes literally said that afterwards. She was like, "I just don't." You could just tell, like, we didn't have it in us to score.
No, and it was completely true. I think my opinion from all of it was that Chelsea were very, very bad at decision making in the last third. I have to say, I think Lauren James particularly annoyed me a lot because she never released the ball. And it's fun, you know, you want to give Lauren James that, what is it, being to express herself creatively on the pitch, all that kind of stuff. And it great, you know, she has the ability to do it and change the game essentially. But there was so many times where, for example, on the short corners, they doubled up on her and she still tried to take them on, and Gura Wrighton was literally right next to her, completely free, higher up the pitch for an easy cross into the box. And Lauren James lost the ball. And even in the penalty to give the extra time.
Well, because I was screaming at her to shoot. I didn't understand why she couldn't shoot.
She had two defenders on her, to be fair.
Yeah. But there was like a moment when she first gets the ball.
I mean, that's what I'm saying. She just like, she did too much instead of making the instant, you know, reaction decision. And in that penalty, again, there was a winger on in the back free, or she could have taken that early decision to either shoot or cross it into the box, because obviously that was the dying seconds and Chelsea were higher up the pitch. So she would just get any ball into the box and anything could have happened. But again, she held on to the ball. Luckily, she got the penalty. We can talk about that, or we don't, but it's, she just didn't release the ball, and it was happening the entire match. And I was fuming, and I was like, just literally do anything except for what you did.
Yeah.
And I thought it was like that the whole, and I think in general, I think decision-making and the execution as well, there was a lot of crosses that just went completely over everyone's head, and the execution was just really poor. And I don't know what you thought of that.
Yeah, I think there were periods where Chelsea were fine. I think they started badly. Obviously, you could tell they were really nervous. I think Lyon's biggest regret in some ways, although I understand why, will be that Ada Hegerberg wasn't on the pitch to take that senior Brun chance, because like that would probably have fallen to Hegerberg, right? And I think if that goes in, Lyon just win. But obviously Chelsea kind of grew into it from there. I think with the Lauren James stuff, what was interesting slash tough is that obviously she was playing more centrally. And I think in some ways, I think that's good, because I think it gives her more opportunity to get on the ball.
Yeah. And a good day, she would have probably finished a lot more chances.
Yeah. Like we've seen her kind of drift out of games when she's played on the wing. And, you know, the ball she plays for the Sam Kerr chance is like perfect. Like that's what you want when you play Lauren James and Sam Kerr together. And obviously, you know, I think Endler does really well with that chance. I think Sam Kerr should score, but Endler comes out so fast.
Yeah.
I think it is quite hard for Kerr, because Endler makes herself so big. And then I think like from there, like we look good. I think it didn't ever feel like Lyon didn't feel like super dangerous. I think just because Chelsea were doing so much in terms of like just the dirty work, like Neve Charles, Erin Cuthbert, Melly Lloyd-Potts, Jess Carter, all of them just immense work rates for the game. I think Jess Carter made like 10 tackles or something insane. And the point where it changed, I think, is when Melly Lloyd-Potts got smacked in the face. And I think when she went off and Sophie Ingle came on, that to me is when it started to fall apart a bit for Chelsea structurally. Because obviously Perisic goes off at the same time.
Mm. It's just a much less aggressive approach when you put Sophie Ingle on against Emery Loipols.
Yeah, exactly. And that's obviously when Lyon got back into the game. And both goals were just shit goals to concede. And that's what was annoying. The first one, I feel like there are obviously errors made, but I think Gilles's run is really good. And it's one of those where you're like, ugh. Like, I think Jess Carter does the right thing to try and show Lindsay around to the byline. And do you know what I mean? Like, she picks out across from like nowhere. I think Magda should do better. I think AKB should do better. But the second one was the one for me where I was just like, come on. Because.
Yeah, that was. It was slow.
It was slow. The slow motions from Magda and Khadija to try and get out to the cross. The fact that no one is picking up De Brits, even though Maren Mjelde is literally right there. I'm like, why are three of you marking another player when you've got Sara De Brits over? And then De Brits' shot wasn't even good. That wasn't what was so annoying. I was like, any pressure on her at all, she doesn't get that shot off because she doesn't even make a contact with it. And that's when I was like, ugh.
It was also centered. Like, it was just a shite goal overall. Like, the probability of that going in, I would say earlier in the match, would have been zero.
Yeah. And that's, like, when... Look, like, I think it's so important, like, with watching Chelsea be shit recently, to consider how many games and the level of games they've had to play in March. And I think generally, if you told me from March, like, we'd beat one of United or City... and we'd get through the Champions League into the semi-finals.
When you look at it overall, it's still a pretty good result. And you're still in the title race quite easily.
Right, exactly. You know, we won the easy game against Brighton, etc. Yeah, because I just think you can see that this team is like so exhausted. And I understand why Hayes wanted to play the way she wanted. And in fact, I actually think it was the right idea. Like, so often we kind of criticise Chelsea, or in the past we criticised Chelsea, that you think about that Wolfsburg game last season of being like, if you don't need to go for it, why open yourself up to it? But yeah, and I was just like convinced it was over. And then AKB steps up to take a free kick for some reason, because why not? And we get the penalty and it's like, the whole thing changes.
Yeah, that was I mean, we could talk, the penalty was, I think it could have been called, it could have not been called. I think it was very subjective. I mean, it was soft, but again, it was subjective.
Yeah.
There is contact.
There is definitely contact.
And she does that.
She makes the most of it. She's been to the Katie McKay school. It's cool, exactly. You know?
Yeah. It's at the end of the day, it is tactic. It's, you know, it wins you a game at the end of the day. And again, you can't really fault Lauren James either, because it went to VAR. There were so many eyes on it and the ref could have easily just said no. So that was very subjective, but I mean, there is contact. But again, yeah. Obviously, Maren Mjelde, outstanding.
Unreal. Just unreal. What a penalty.
Yeah, no, that was ridiculous. And then obviously... extra time didn't really amount to anything.
Yeah.
Which I think is fair. It was a long game. I think both teams kind of exerted their maximum. I think Lyon kind of did their max to get those two goals. Chelsea did the max to attack as much as possible in the dying seconds. So I think extra time was kind of just there as a buffer for penalties, essentially.
Yeah. Yeah. And then the penalty shootout was just... I've never watched Chelsea women have a penalty shootout live. And I actually wasn't as scared as I thought I would be.
Really?
I think, one, because I was so convinced that we were going out. Like, before, I was like... my brain couldn't process it. But yeah, when you're waiting, and you're like, oh, we're going to penalties... and you're waiting and waiting for it to happen. But, like, I didn't think we were going to penalties, obviously. I thought we were just going out. And then when they started, I thought AKB would save some, just because I know how good AKB is at saving penalties. What I was worried about was us scoring them. I was worried about Sam. I was worried about LJ.
Yeah, I was worried about... actually, those two were kind of the most worried. I think because they come up to take a penalty so confident that you're kind of like, this could easily go horribly wrong.
Yeah, well, LJ as well, I saw she missed the penalty against West Ham. So I was like, I know... and her one against West Ham was awful as well. So I was like, I bet she'll do another awful one. And then she did, bless her. But didn't have to matter.
No, I thought the dramatic point was when AKB blocked the first one and then Endler just blocked the second one, and you're just like,
Yeah,
oh
I
shit. Okay,
know.
so it's back to square one basically.
Yeah.
I thought, yeah, AKB came out big, obviously. It was I mean she had that one to her left that she touched it and it still went under her arm.
Yeah, the Debrett one.
Yeah, she had the advantage, and I thought, I mean, that last penalty save was just, it was such a satisfying one because you heard that and it
Yeah.
just goes out.
Oh my
It was a
God.
really good, it was a really good save. But it was, yeah, it was, I think it's shocking because, yeah, I think we all kind of accepted that Chelsea were out. And like I was already like, Alexis Putellas is coming back because we're playing Lyon in the Camp Nou.
They did it for us, Alex, so we could go
I
to
know.
Barcelona
So we
together
can
and watch
go.
Barcelona Chelsea.
Away days.
Yes, we're definitely going to lose, so I've accepted that now. But
But you get an away day.
I get an away day, and that night at Stamford Bridge was so worth it. And I actually think, you know, from outside of a football perspective, you know, I find the attendance thing like very boring and dry, but I think Chelsea women really needed a moment like that in front of that many people.
I do, yeah, it was, I found Chelsea fans to be quite, I'm sorry, but quite dull overall. I thought during the
I am
match
the
it
most
was really
interesting one.
quiet. Exactly. And that says a lot. I thought it was really quiet. I mean, it was, I mean, we said it for the Arsenal Chelsea match as well. It was just really, really quiet. And but when in the last 30 seconds when Chelsea were really pushing, there was a lot of noise. And it was like, for me to hear that, it was, I mean, I was like literally right behind the goal with all the Chelsea fans. And for me, it was like motivating. I was like, oh shit, something's gonna happen. So I can imagine what it felt like for the player, especially when Marin Mjelde went to celebrate her penalty. Like you heard the noise, and that didn't finish until like the end of the match. And the way that people celebrated that goal, I thought was really promising as well. I thought it was really promising for people to come back.
Dancing around the concourse, like,
Yeah, exactly. Like it was genuinely, when the time came, the atmosphere was really good.
yeah,
And before that, I mean, to be fair, there wasn't much to cheer on during the match as
it
well.
was
Like,
dry.
not, it wasn't, yeah, there wasn't much excitement behind it. So I understand that people are quiet, but it was quite dull until kind of the last part of it. So I am curious to see, one, how many Barcelona fans travel. Two, I think Chelsea could get a good crowd. So I think the atmosphere could actually be quite nice at Stamford Bridge. But yeah, we should move on to the last match.
Yes.
PSG Wolfsburg. Wolfsburg have gone through. Poppy scored a really nice goal.
Yeah, and then she missed some absolutely amazing opportunities as well.
Yeah, that was really bad.
She like really showed the highs and the lows of being a forward, I think. Like that you could score a goal that good, but then actually all anyone will talk about is the insane miss when she had just had an open goal to slide the ball. So.
Yeah, no, that wasn't I think Wolfsburg were, I wouldn't say lucky in the sense of kind of you thought that they were going to lose if they didn't score more, but having a two goal kind of cushion over PSG when Alex Pop has was missing those opportunities, I think it was fine. Like there wasn't that much pressure on it. But then yeah, I mean again, Wolfsburg, Jan Sithiers started. A box to box
Thank you for listening
suggestion.
to us, Tommy Stroop. We welcome you and Jonas to the Box to Box listenership.
Thank you. Bye, Rianne Skinner.
You, Rahan Skinner, and you two are welcome to join us anytime. Oh
Anytime.
my God, I need to talk about Harriet Duffy stickers that I saw in the toilet as well at Chelsea, just quickly. I went to the toilet at half time and I came out and there was a sticker like on the hand sanitizer thing, which was like, "You're gonna get skinned with Rahan Skinner," and it was like Spurs women sticker. It's amazing. I found out that Harriet Duffy did them. She is gonna give me one because she's got some left over, but it really cracked me up at half time. I love that
That
there's
is really
women
funny.
ultras infiltrating the Stamford Bridge toilet. Sorry,
That is
back
actually, no, that's brilliant. That is
to.
really funny.
I thought in this game PSG were way more impressive than I expected them to be.
Yes, I do agree with that. I don't know what you thought about kind of the lineup, if that's the best lineup, because obviously you had Leno, Rodolf, Giroud, and Lena Latwin in the middle. And then Jan Sadir, Svenjakov, and Alex Pop up top. I think we could probably focus a bit on that in terms of, is that their strongest going forward?
I mean, it still wouldn't be my choice, but I thought it was better. I thought it was much more, it offered them different things going forward compared to in the first leg where it just felt very slow. And I guess it's good for them that they're so like unpredictable in that sense. But it was interesting. There are a lot, to be fair, we said this before, like there are a lot of moving parts at that club. Mm. And clearly there's a feeling that like Pop has to play.
Yeah. I mean, which is fair enough.
Which is fair. But then when you've got like Eva Payor and then you've got like Vasmov and you've got Brand, like it is almost like there's too many. Sometimes it's like he's trying to fit in too many players, which I have sympathy for with, you know.
Yeah, what I find most interesting is the season that Tabea Vasmuth had last season and how insignificant she is now.
Yeah.
Which is like insane. She was the Champions League top goal scorer last season. And you know, one of Wolfsburg's kind of main strikers, and now she doesn't even get into a match.
Yeah, I know.
She didn't play against PSG. I mean, Grand, you have, you know, Yula Brand and Ewa Bayo came in, but also that was in the 93rd minute and 73rd minute. So like, and Tabasma just stayed on the bench. So I find that very interesting.
For me, it's not. For me, he doesn't know what the best lineup is.
Mm.
And I think that's a problem, especially when you look at Arsenal, who I think are now coming into like a really good, strong bit of form with a very, okay, injuries aside maybe, but like quite a settled, structured lineup. And in part that's because Idaval's been freed of those problems that Stroot has because everyone's it got injured.
Yeah, so there's less thinking.
Yeah, but no, I thought PSG were like, Diani has really impressed me, I think, in how she's adapted to that number nine role. And I thought this was a great example of that. Like, it was really unlucky that she was offside for that first one, because I think if that counts, you saw that PSG like had that early impetus in this game, and you saw like it's like what you're saying about Dominic Janssen, that they were getting joy there, like with the later runners as well, you know, when you had like Fazer and Backman coming in later into the box. But it just felt like once Wolfsburg did get going, PSG couldn't find more. And also that's just because their squad's quite thin, you know, like once Diani went off.
Yeah.
Like you don't really have any other options.
Nah.
Diani going off is just like, that's kind of the point. Like, it kills the game because I'm like,
yeah,
she's the player you're looking to, right? To do something.
I mean, yeah. I mean, their bench is, you know, not up to standard, essentially, when you're looking at a semi-finalist in the Champions League.
Yeah.
Like, you don't have big players. And essentially, you know, there's the injuries and everything, but essentially, even when you look at Liga Martin starting, I think she only started because Ramona Backman had to be dropped back into the midfield.
Yeah.
So
and she's there because Grace Gayora's had to drop back because there's no
exactly
De Almeida because of the red card. And
yeah.
Yeah.
So it's just like, it's very PSG. I feel bad saying it, but I am quite happy that they're out just because I think they bring less out of all the teams. Like even less than Roma, I would say. At least Roma give you very exciting football, but PSG just, I think they need to see out the season essentially and kind of restart as of next season, and hopefully bringing back injuries and all that stuff. But yeah, I think PSG have gotten better. I think since we didn't trash talk them essentially, we just say they're really shit. But
I'm allowed to say they're better. Shit and boring if I've watched. Sat through PSG Chelsea twice this season.
Don't remind me of that.
I went to Paris to watch PSG. You know?
That was an awful match.
It was a mistake. That's why I deserve to go to Barcelona, even if we lose. I'm like, that's my reward.
We deserve this away day.
That's my reward for sitting through PSG Chelsea.
I think semifinals are gonna be good.
Yeah, I think they're exciting. I definitely feel like they're kind of the right way round. Like, obviously, from a Chelsea perspective, I would prefer not to be playing Barcelona, but I'm also excited because I think it will be fun, even if we lose. And I think Arsenal Wolfsburg, like, I think Arsenal go into that as favourites, but it's close enough that I think we're going to get a tight semi-final. And obviously, like, Wolfsburg knocking out Arsenal last year, there's just, I think for both of them, there's like a lot of good narrative in the games.
Yeah, I think it would be, I think Wolfsburg-Arsenal, I think that's really open to see who wins overall. And I think for Chelsea-Barcelona, it's kind of, I think it's exciting for both sides.
Mm-hmm.
I think Barcelona will take this as a very fun challenge, and kind of the way they think and their mentality towards playing against a big team, especially Chelsea. You know, Chelsea are going to be up for revenge, essentially.
Yeah,
and that's going to be like their burning motivation. And Barcelona have, you know, experience with that burning motivation of revenge, of Lyon, for example. But
Chelsea have some fun, you know, just general history against Barcelona in Champions League semi-finals where they were expected to lose as well.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
there's like fun club. And I think that'll be, again, like, that's why the Lyon game was so cool, because no one gives a, like, from men's football, obviously, no one gives a shit about Lyon. Like, they don't understand it. Everyone gets what Chelsea-Barcelona in the Champions League means. Even if you don't know about the final, like, everyone gets Chelsea-Barcelona. So I think that'll be really cool.
No, I do agree with that. I think the name is going to be, it's going to weigh quite heavily, I think, for both matches. But we'll come back with a preview right before we go on our away day. Maybe from Barcelona. We should record from Barcelona, maybe.
We should record from Barcelona. Obviously,
depending on when we get there, but
yeah, obviously we'll, because the first leg's at home, so we'll do a preview of everything, and then maybe depending on when we get to Barcelona, we can preview the second legs as well.
Very exciting month ahead.
Really exciting. Oh, I can't wait. I can't wait. I'm so excited.
I'm very excited. But yeah, we'll leave it at that. Again, Arsenal Wolfsburg and Chelsea Barcelona in the Champions League semi-finals. This
two English teams. And we just say, everyone said the English teams can't do it.
I think it's for the first time since like 2013 or something.
Yeah, it's exciting. It's cool. Yeah. I'm glad, because I think everyone who actually watches football knows that, like, obviously the English teams are like at the same level. They just haven't necessarily had the things go their way consecutively to both get there. But it's really cool for Chelsea.
And for very selfish reasons, we get two semi-finals in London.
Exactly, which works really well for us.
Exactly.
They did
so,
it for us.
So that's exciting. Yeah, basically. I mean, obviously. But yeah, we'll leave it at that, and we'll come back in a couple weeks to do the preview episode. Oh, I do want to shout out, someone came up to me at Stamford Bridge saying that they listened to the podcast.
Cute.
So that was really cute. So I do want to shout out that. So thank you everyone for listening, as always, and see you soon.